Thank you for joining us. This is the Fisherist Podcast, a weekly podcast that shares the stories of the amazing people and projects that make up Fisherist Science. If you haven't already, follow the podcast on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Fisherist Pod. If you're the generous sort, you can be like Ben, Tyler, Janet, Robin, and John, who all support the podcast on Patreon. Through Patreon, you're able to support the show with either a recurring or one-time donation, which helps us pay for various parts of the show. If that isn't your thing, you can also purchase Fisherist Pod shirts, hoodies, stickers, and face masks on our Teespring store, if you feel inclined, so check that out. Our guest today is Felipe Battepaolo. Felipe, also known as Pepe, is an oceanographer and holds a Master of Science degree in aquaculture and fisheries. He has worked with both artisanal and industrial fisheries and conducted scientific research prior to joining Olho Peixe, where he works as operational manager. In his current role, he aims to work with and alongside fishers for a sustainable fisheries future. Welcome to the podcast, Pepe. So you are part of Olho Peixe, which is a Brazilian-based social enterprise that aims to bring fish caught by artisanal fisheries straight to your table. Can you tell us more about what Olho Peixe is and what it aims to do?
Olho Peixe works on a CSF model, a community-supported fisheries model. We try to increase traditional fishers' income while practicing fair prices. We pay a value higher than the other parts that plays the same role as Olho Peixe. It's something that we try to do to improve the quality of life for those people. We work with deliveries for customers from Curitiba and region. We work on a monthly membership association. Those customers can have access to local fishes that they are not used to. We try to bring some information about the species, artisanal fisheries, fishermen and fishwomen, recipes, tips about how to deal with your fishes, better ways of cooking it, and in a general way, we try to give them more information for a better way of buying fishes.
Oh, that's great to know. And I really admire the work that Olho Peixe has done in Pontal do Paraná in coastal Brazil. And I guess you're also doing work in other parts of coastal Paraná?
Yes, we are located at Pontal do Paraná, one of the cities of the coast of Paraná state, which is the second smallest of Brazil. We work with about 10 communities from Paranaguá, Superagui, Pontal do Paraná, and Guaratuba. We want to expand our influence, our reach here in the coastal area to involve more families in the future.
Oh, that's great. That's really good to hear. And what led you to launch Olho Peixe? How did you identify the need for it in the coastal area there in Paraná State, Brazil?
Yeah, in fact, it was not me that launched Olho Peixe. Olho Peixe was founded by Brian, who is the CEO. And when he was doing his master's, he got in touch with fishers. He saw that they struggle to sell the fishes. Sometimes they need to lower down their prices because they can't store it. So they sell for low prices, or the fish will get spoiled. It's something, and additionally to this, it's a dependency of middlemen that led to low prices, a lack of structure for fishermen to sell their fishes throughout the year. When we are on summer, a bunch of people come from another cities. They can see the fish on the beach. They can see the fishermen, so they can do the sellings. But during all the other time of the year, they can't reach those consumers. And another thing that called Brian's attention was the increased interest of non-native species like tilapia, salmon, that are species that people farm here in Brazil, like tilapia, and are very easy to get access on market, supermarket, but people don't know about pescadinha, for example, a very common fish species from Paraná that has a very light flavor, white meat that fits like tilapia, for example. And another thing that led to the launch of Olho Peixe was the lack of knowledge of local species and the lack of knowledge about the cause for in looking for the consumer.
Yeah, that's really good to hear that Olho Peixe, yeah, that Brian and the team realized this need for something like that in Coastal Paraná and really went ahead with it and has been making really good change in the region. So for those who may not be familiar with the region, can you tell us more about what artisanal fisheries in Coastal Paraná look like?
Sure. The artisanal fishery is mostly composed by small canoes up to 10 meters long, and most of them made by fiberglass. Fishermen go to the sea daily, about 6 to 10 hours fishing trips. They leave from the beach, go to the fishing spot to place the net or to take it out. There is no harbor or fishing harbor. There are kind of limited resources. The main fishing species are seabob shrimp, white shrimp, mackerel, weakfish, blue crab, mussels. These are a little information about our coast.
Yeah, that can give us an idea of what it looks like and how diverse it is too, right? And how does Olho Peixe work in practice? So if you are a consumer and you want to have access to local fish, what would you do? And if you are an artisanal fisher who lives in the region and wants to sell your catch locally, how would you go about that?
Yeah, let's start talking about the artisanal fisher part. We as Olho Peixe, we sell fishes that are catched by them. So for us to have an inventory, we need the fishermen. So when they go to the sea and return, they call Brian and say, "Hey Brian, we got some white shrimp, mackerel, any kind of fish. Do you need it?" "Oh yeah, I need it. I don't need it." So it's something based. We try to work with fishes from the station, seasonal fishes. We don't work with endangered species. So if the fisherman tell us that he or she has something that fits into those two rules, seasonal fishing, seasonal catch, or a non-endangered species, we can buy the fish from them, paying fair price and get it on to, sorry, we took those fish and take them to some woman that are some ladies that are fisherwomen. We took those fish to them, and those women, they clean the fish, they do the fillets, or but they prepare the fish to the package, and they store it on the freezer. They clean the fishes, remove their skins, remove their bones, put in packages, and then put these packages on freezers. So once Olho Peixe has some fishes, we got it on our inventory, and now consumers can buy it. So for consumers to buy local fishes, they can get in touch with us from our website, from our Instagram or Facebook pages, or by WhatsApp. To control and better management of our inventory and the orders from these clients, we use a form on a Google form where we put all the fishes we have, and consumers can pick what they want. They saw the prices, they saw the amount, how much they want, on like a kilo and a half. Well, basically, they see what we have, they order it, and then we deliver it to them on Thursdays or Fridays. It depends on how we will schedule each delivery. So additionally, this is a common pattern that all consumers can have access to our fish. We also have this monthly membership association that we call Clube de Assinatura da Olho Peixe. And for those subscribers, we offer some benefits like discounts, special offers for priorities on our inventory. Like if there is some fish that is new or is not too common, or we have a small amount of it, we put it especially for those members or subscribers. We try to prioritize them. This way they can feel special. They can feel that they are taking part of something bigger. So it's a way to return this to the consumers who helped us to achieve our main goals.
Yeah, that's a really good way to go about it. And how many subscribers do you have today, a part of Olho Peixe?
For now, we have about 500. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And they're all in the region, including Curitiba area as well, and the coastal area.
Yeah, they are from Curitiba and region. We now work with clients from maybe 5 or 7 cities. We work with people from, we have consumers from Pontal do Paraná, Matinhos, Curitiba, São José dos Pinhais, Colombo, Quatro Barras. These are all cities from Paraná. Just the first two are from the coastal area, and the other ones are from the region of Curitiba.
Nice. So you're very well spread as well in the area, which is great. So how has Olho Peixe changed the way fish is commercialized in the region, and in which ways has it benefited both artisanal fishers and consumers?
We can make fishers have a more steady income. They know with the membership association, we know that 400 people will order fishes monthly. So we know that we need to buy fishes from the fishers for 400 people. So this help us to improve this steady income for fishermen. Another thing that we achieved was involving more women on the artisanal fisheries, putting them on a more with a more important economic role on their families. The family income was traditionally based on the men who go to the sea, catch the fishes, come back, so the woman clean the fishes, sell it on their local markets. But with Olho Peixe, this woman, they clean the fishes that are not catched from their husband. So this is a way of earning money from fishing processing without being from your family.
Wow, that's very interesting. And so how has that changed even the dynamics in the communities and even the family dynamics? How have these women felt being more empowered in that way and having more of a economic role in their household?
We already saw some of those women saying that with the money from Olho Peixe, they can plan some trip or took some time for going to the saloon with their own money without needing the money from their husband. They can do other things that they maybe can't do or will not so comfort to do without asking money from the men. So it's a way of empowering the woman, from the fishing woman. So it's one of the benefits we can see from Olho Peixe, and we look for improving it even better. And about consumers that you asked, we think that the way Olho Peixe commercializes the fishes, we bring a lot more information, make it this, not just bring the information, but bring them accessible to people. So at the own Olho Peixe, we are 4 oceanographers, me, Brian, Ligia, and Guy. So we have knowledge about the fishing dynamics, about fishing fishing species. So we try to pass along with our sales those informations. So we talk about seasonalities, about endangered species, better ways of cooking it. So maybe think this is the main ways we can benefit the local community with our work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you mentioned that the 4 of you are oceanographers there in the company. So how was that transition from being an oceanographer to becoming an entrepreneur? And how has that knowledge, you mentioned it contributes to, sharing some of that knowledge and information with consumers, but how has that knowledge from oceanography has also helped you and the company to become a better company or to be better entrepreneurs with that oceanography knowledge?
Yeah, our information maybe led us to a better way of dealing with fishermen and fisherwomen, because when researchers go to fishing spots and talk to fishermen, extract their information and don't come back to tell them their research's goals, their findings, wherever. So it was another thing that Brian had on his mind while dealing with fishermen during his master's. So when he finished it, he also said, yeah, how can I give it back for fishermen what they gave to me? So those things that I read mentioned, coupled with this, we back to our information, yeah, we are not salesperson. We know how to sell, we can learn how to sell, but it's maybe harder to know how to fish, where to fish. So then we learn how to connect to those people that fishes. So our paper as an oceanographer maybe is this, to try to improve a local economy with our oceanographer's knowledge, to pass along the information and try to make people buy better food without paying more, and try to not affect how fishing species were harvested.
Yeah, that
makes sense.
Yes, that's a very powerful way of saying it, of how you saw yourselves as oceanographers who had that role to play in the communities, and I'm just really happy to see that happening. And I can imagine that probably has changed even the way fishers see this dynamic with the university and people coming from the university. You probably have changed some of that relationship that, as you said, hasn't been always good with some researchers just coming in for data collection and leaving the community. You really wanted to do something long-term, and you were determined to have a long-term project in the community to their benefit, more than just trying to benefit the other side of research. So have you seen benefits in that sense as well, in relation to how fishers view researchers or oceanographers or people from the university in general?
I will not say that about researchers or oceanographers as a whole thing, but I can say that Brian had to do baby steps all along the way, and now he achieved the path that fishermen take our job as valuable. They trust us now. So it's an achievement that makes us very proud. That to achieve this point is one of the biggest goals from the beginning. Because without fishers and their trust, we can't do nothing. So
yeah, that's key, and that's not easy to achieve for sure. And it's a process, right? As you said, it's like baby steps, and it's a relationship building process. Yeah, I'm just thinking now, maybe that's would you like to share some kind of advice to our listeners who are in fishery science and who are researchers working in fisheries related subjects, some kind of advice in terms of relationship building with communities, something that you may have learned through Alupeshi and what you've done to gain trust and to build a good relationship with fish harvesters in the region?
Well, I'm don't know if I'm in a position to give these kind of advices, but one thing that I saw throughout my career is that fishermen want to talk. They like to talk. They like to share what they know. But we as researchers or look-alike careers, we fail to give it back to them. So we have to do our best to give it back. That it's never ne not always it's easy to see that we are giving back. But if you go to a fisherman or a fisherwoman to inquire them about their profession, their daily routine. So once you go, you need to go back there and tell, oh, with the things that you say to me, I did this. Or with the things that you say to me, I can't do that. I try to do the other thing. It's any kind of satisfaction in some way. You just need to try to get it back to them. They have a traditional knowledge, the daily routine based knowledge, so they know a lot. So you can try to bring some back.
Yes, and that's really important. And so Alupeixe is involved in several projects that go beyond the commercialization of fish, including a recipe book, the project Arcais Sara Roots, and a project that aims to promote the full utilization of fish and seafood products. Can you tell us more about these projects and how they contribute to Alupeixe's mission?
Sure. Both of them have some in common. More information leads to a better fishing. In better fishing, we can understand as fishing better is not fishing more. This is something that we took on basis to develop this projects that aims to promote the full utilization of fish and seafood products, because with if a kilo of shrimp, we can after cleaning it, removing their skins, removing their skins, sorry, carapaces, their reds, their heads, we got about 50% of its weight. So for a kilo of shrimp, we got a half a kilo of waste. So this waste of shrimp is not a waste. We can use it to do some soup, for example. So we instead of disposing it on waste, we put it on packets and sell it. As it's a product to do a soup with seafood taste. So with the same amount of fishing getting fished, we can generate a more income for fishermen. So they can fish the same amount and make more money. So this is the biggest goal of this project. The recipe book, it was our way for getting people that are consumers or potential consumers to get in touch with local communities, cultures, culture, way of life, about fishing species. The most common or less common ones, but all into basically to provide information. So we cannot sell local fish if people don't know it, if people don't know them. So for consumer to know our fishes, we need to tell them where they live, what they eat, how they behave, and ways of cooking it. So this recipe book got all of this. And the other project that you mentioned, that in Portuguese we call Nossa Raiz Caiçara, or in English, Our Caiçara Roots, it was a project that aimed to show people, local people and consumers, some way of life, some culture, local culture that is mainly from Paraná coast, but it goes along north of Santa Catarina and south of São Paulo, that is that people call Caiçara. Caiçara is the people that lives in this region of the Brazilian coast. So, with this project, we can show the cultural importance of the Caiçara, the Caiçaras. We show this importance within the communities, showing the importance of their cultures for them, maybe enhances the possibility of future generations being proud of their history and maintaining it. So, because there are a lot of fishermen that says, I don't want my son to fish. I want them to study, to go do another activity, because fishing is not easy. So it's kind of a mix of sentiments. So this is one bullet point for this project. Another point of this project is to show the Caiçara culture for to people that don't know it and don't know how it works or what it means to be a Caiçara. So this is the main goals for those projects that you have mentioned.
Yeah, thanks for explaining them, because it's really important to have all these other, as you mentioned, it's not just about buying fish or selling fish. There's much more to it, and these projects really speak to it and to the other, and to Olho Peixe's mission and goals of really contributing to the communities in all sorts of different ways. And what brought you to Olho Peixe, Pepe, and what is your role in the company? And as part of that, like, what has been your personal journey as part of the company and as part of the team? Because from my understanding, you have been connected with Brian since before you became part of the company. So what has been that, your trajectory until you joined Olho Peixe?
Yeah. Well mentioned. Yeah, Brian he's one of my best friends. We talked a lot about Olho Peixe even before it became Olho Peixe. But before Olho Peixe, I was working in a science-based project at Rio Grande do Sul, where I was working with an potentially endangered species called blue shark, the Piranhas glauca. So I was looking for new challenges. Then I talked to Brian as friends talks, not as a business one. So he tell me, oh, we are in a phase that we are getting bigger. We are looking for moving forward. What do you think about coming to work with us? And then I said, whoa, it's a nice way. It's a nice timing for, because I was looking for it. So took me a weekend to think about it, because it will be a big change for me personally, because involved moving myself from Rio Grande do Sul and come to live in Paraná. It also means leaving the academic area and start working on a business world that I was never took part before. So it's a chat. It was a challenge. I'm still learning because for my formation was like a science man, not a businessman. And now I'm improving it. And at the on Alipeixe, I took part as someone who manages the operational routine. So I talk to clients to adjust their orders. I talk to the fishing woman to see which fishes we have on our inventory. And I do some of the deliveries. Sometimes I think, oh, but it's not what I do, what I stood for, but I can sell things and tell people what I stood. Now I need to sell, but it will be a moment that most part of my formation will be more required than my selling skills. And there is one other thing that caught my attention for working to Alipeixe, the possibility of giving it back to the community. All the knowledge that I learned, I can now give it back for consumers and for fishermen in some way. Now I can't see myself in a position that I can teach something to fishermen. But if there is something that me, Pepe or Alipeixe can help the fishermen, is to a better way of handling the fishes and make them understand that the fish that they catch is food. So a better handling of their fishes is a better handling of food. And it's important to to take care of it in the better way possible, so the consumers will have a healthy meal, a healthy fishes. It's one of the additional goals of Alipeixe to aggregate this to consumers and fishermen.
So, can you tell us a bit more about your science experience as well, like your experience as a scientist and from the start of your career in oceanography? Because I know you have worked with fish and fisheries before. So, can you tell us a bit more about that research that you've done in your undergrad and then in your master's?
Sure. During my undergrad period, I was in touch with fishermen here, local fishermen, but I was not the researcher itself. I was an unlearned researcher that go to the field, take notes, but just in that time, I just was taking notes. I was not trying to do my own research with fishermen. For my undergrad work, I studied about fishing ecology from fishes from the estuary, the Paranaguá estuary, can we call that CEP, Complexo Estuarino de Paranaguá, or in English, sorry. Paranaguá Estuarine Complex. And after my undergrad period, I took a master's on fish aquaculture and fishery science, where I I learned something about fishing, how to handle fishing, and I worked with white shrimp ecology, also white shrimp ecology, not fisheries. And after my master's, I went to the Rio Grande do Sul to work on the Blue Shark Project, where I got in touch with another scale of fisheries. I was working with industrial fisheries from that operates on South Brazil and goes from Santa Catarina to Uruguay, and was a turning point in my life because I got in touch with another perspective. Here in Paraná, we just have artisanal fisheries. We don't have industrial ones. So when I come to work to Blue Shark Project, I got in touch with another reality and a mass production. So here in Paraná, we talk about hundreds of fishes each canoe. But on the industrial ones, we are talking about 10, 15,000 of fishes in one boat, in one fishing vessel. So it's a much bigger, and it's not easy to see where it goes, where it comes from. Here, working with artisanal fisheries, it's for me, it's something that I can show better, can see better where it comes, where it goes, and how to improve all this knowledge. Because the knowledge here in Brazil, we have a big lack of knowledge about f static fishing stats. So if I can do something for my life or that will give me pleasure when I became old and I look back and see, oh yeah, I can do something for fishing stats. So I will be very pleased to do this.
That's great to hear. And your trajectory from studying more like fishing ecology, and then more of a small scale fisheries to an industrial fisheries, and now back to small scale fisheries after having seen that, which I can imagine it has been very beneficial to understand fisheries in general to have had all these many experiences. In different environments and different fisheries. So I bet that you bring a lot of that knowledge now to Olho Peixe just for the better. So what have you currently been working on as part of Olho Peixe, and what are the next steps as part of the company?
Yeah, now I'm taking some of the deliveries mainly to restaurants because additionally to people, we also deliver fishes to local restaurants on Curitiba. I work on customer support, and my next step, I cannot say it today because I want to grow up with the company. It's kind of cliche, but was something that I really trust because I want to take part of it, of its improvement. Not improvement, but I want to help Olho Peixe to grow up. So I want to see myself with Olho Peixe for a long, long time and helping Olho Peixe to achieve their own goals.
Yeah, that's great. And I'm sure Olho Peixe has a really good team member there to achieve its goals and for its growth in the future. And where do you see Olho Peixe in the next 5 to 10 years, or just in the future in general? And what is your ultimate goal in your career or for Olho Peixe as well? Where do you want to see it?
So as Olho Peixe, we want people people, as I see, is mainly Brazilian population, but why not the world? Yeah, but we want Brazilian people knowing what they have on their coast. So we want to provide information about local fishes, local species, local fishermen. We want to act in the whole process of marketing because we want to improve it. We need better labels, not only fish, but the fishing market need better labeling so people can know what they are eating, where the fish came from. Some information that should be basic, but are not easily displayed for consumers. We want to take out poverty line these traditional fishers that most of the time they are placed in this position because they are simple, or some people act like they can work on them. So, you don't have the knowledge, so I will do it. We'll pay you low prices, sell it for very high amounts. He retained this money, and yeah, it's your problem. This is not what Alipage thinks it's correct. So we about 60% of all the income that Alipage receives from consumers are passed to the fishers. So we basically we want to be a whole model for other states of other enterprises. It would be beautiful if we can be on every state of Brazil, but maybe it's not so easy to do it. We need people that know local communities to develop an occupation in another place. So if at least we can serve as an inspiration for someone, yet it would be great.
Yeah, I'm sure you already are an inspiration to many people, including to me. I agree with you that I really like your point of really rely on that local knowledge to establish something like Olho Peixe. Like you and Brian and the team used your knowledge of Coastal Paraná that you had and the connections, the personal connections, and the relationships to establish Olho Peixe so well. And I can see that happening in other places and people using their own local connections to do something similar and maybe connected to Olho Peixe in terms of the goals and the message and the way that it hopes to benefit the communities. I really admire the work of Olho Peixe, and I'm really happy to talk to you today and to hear about your story and how Olho Peixe is doing and where it aims to go. Yeah, I'm always really proud to talk about it to people I know, and hopefully we're inspiring our listeners to do something similar in their own communities across the world, in different parts of the world, and not only in Brazil as well. So, Pepe, now the tough part of the interview is over, and we're down to the final five questions. And this is a group of five questions that I ask each of the guests that come on the show. So the first one is, what is your favorite fish?
So this is kind of a tricky question because for me personally, I don't eat fish. I really don't like eating fishes, but since before going to college to my undergrad period, I liked fishing. So I like to see them. And now my favorite fish is the tainha because of the culture cultural and social relevance of it here in Paraná. I don't know if people that are listening to us know, but the tainha, it's a seasonal fish that could be fished by industrial, artisanal, and mid-scale levels of fisheries. So, but here in the Paraná coast, it's nice to see when people do some beach fishing. Sorry, it's not the correct term, but a bunch of people come, place the net, and a lot of people help to put these fishes out of water. So it's a nice thing to see. Unfortunately, this year, when I went to the beach, neither of the days that I went to, I saw people fishing the tainhas, but it's maybe the most satisfying idea of local fishery that I have now.
Yeah, that's great. And it's good that you're thinking of fish not only as something we eat, because I feel like sometimes people answer this question as your favorite fish to eat. But fish can be so much more than that too, right? It has all this social and cultural meaning. And mullet, or the tainha in Portuguese, is really one of those that has so much more. It's part of the caiçara culture for sure, and in South Brazil.
Yeah.
And what is your favorite memory from your career or research so far?
Here is one of my favorite memories, because I know I'm in some way I'm giving back my knowledge to people and for the community as a whole thing. Went to work with Projeto Blue Shark Project back in Rio Grande do Sul was a very nice thing too, because working there I get the possibility of going on a fishing boat and went to a fishing trip and see what is the reality on the seas, because it's very easy for us as researchers go to the beach, talk to fishermen, or go to the harbor and talk to them, take notes, go back to our office, do some math, do some writing. But what really took place on the sea, on a boat? So it's something that I will always remember, because it changed my perspective of how things are done on sea. So it's very important to me to be able to have done these trips.
Yeah, I'm sure it was very eye-opening for you, and I would like to do that myself. I never had the opportunity to be out there in an industrial fishing boat, and I'm sure you learn a lot from that experience. So what is your dream job or location?
About a dream job, I really don't know if I have one. I'm perfectly fine with the job that I have now. I really like to live here in Pontal. It's a small city. I'm from São Paulo, one of the biggest cities of South America, maybe the biggest one. But I like this calm that Pontal provides me. Mm-hmm. So maybe I'm at the right place, at the right time. I don't need to see myself out of here in a short or long term.
That's great. It's great that you're in your dream job and your dream location too. Pontal, the Paraná, is definitely a really nice place to live, and I really miss being there. So if money was not an issue, what is one project that you like to work on?
Well, kind of money was not for me now, money is not the best situation, for me and for Olhopeixe as a whole, we know that we can improve our incomes, but now is not the time to do this. We need to grow up, and then we can have better salaries. But if I can, taking the money part a part of this equation, I like here, but maybe I want to take into my goals or my holes here in Alipay, add something with researching, because I like researching, but I don't like the way I got in touch with researching, making research recently. So I want to try to make some researches that I can apply, or everything I can apply, sorry, but something that I can see being applied more easily. Like, you can I work here with fishermen, so how can I improve their way of life, or how can I improve the for fishing species continuity? So we to improve a better understanding of fishing activities, but improving the knowledge we have of fishes, and something that could balance those two worlds, and without being too ecologist or without being too marketable.
And if there was one point or principle that you could have programmed into everyone's head, so something you'd like for everyone to know, what would that be?
Well, when I grew up, I saw artisanal fishers and artisanal fishes going as a not healthy or not good for consumption. So, because they are traditionally here, they are based on a beach, so people don't see it like it's clean, or and it's an idea that it's completely wrong, because if you compare the sanity of fishes from artisanal or industrial fishes, maybe the artisanal ones are healthier. The artisanal catches go to a freezer faster than an industrial one. So this one, something that took my attention during my formation. When another thing that comes in mind is that I already mentioned before, that knowing, passing to fishermen, that taking care of fish is taking care of food. So a better caring of this food is better for consumers' health, and even can be translated as a better income for them. And for consumers, if I can put it on their head, is that supporting local fisheries is to support an alternative way of economy, and maybe a cleaner one with less footprints.
Yeah, that's great, and I wish we could have that programmed into everyone's head for sure. Yeah, I really admire the work of Alupeshi, and yeah, is there anything else you would like to add?
I just really want to thank you for the opportunity of coming here and talk about what we do. Maybe we I was able to touch someone, and maybe some of the people that are here to us can took some of these advices or these bullet points or any kind of these to their own realities. Because basically here in Olho Peixe, none of us that are working on Olho Peixe are from the Paraná. But we, without being from the community, we can become involved ourselves. We can involve, make ourselves involved with communities and be accepted for by them. So it's just a matter of how we talk and how can we translate our thoughts in talking and working with them is better than working against them or something like that sometimes happen with sciences or another part of economic roles.
So I guess working with them is always the choice there and what we should strive for. Yeah, so we can end with that message today that we should strive to build relationships with the local communities and see the benefits of small-scale fisheries in terms of job creation, in terms of access to food and fish as food, and just working together with those small-scale fisheries to build a better future for our coastal communities. So Pepe, thank you so much for coming to the podcast today. It was a pleasure hearing about you and all of your work with Olho Peixe. And I also appreciate the work from Brian and the whole team. So if people want to find out more information or get a hold of you, how would they do that?
So thank you for the words, Mirella, and nice to talk to you again. For reaching us, you can go on Facebook or Instagram and type Olha o Peixe. We have our website, olhopeixe.com.br. And there is our WhatsApp number that people can reach us to. We will be pleased to get in touch with you and try to pass some of our experience.
That sounds great. Thank you so much, Pepe. Thanks for joining us today. And I hope we can hear more about Olho Peixe and how it evolves in Paraná and in other parts of Brazil and the world. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to our podcast episode today. Now, if you'd like to get in touch with Pepe and learn more about Olho Peixe and his work there, check out our Fisheries Podcast webpage, where you find a link to their website, social media channels, as well as their WhatsApp number. If you'd like to get a hold of us, you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at FisheriesPod, or email feedback@thefisheriespodcast.com. I really hope you enjoyed this episode, because I certainly did. You can download past, present, and future episodes on your favorite listening app or stream it from Spotify or thefisheriespodcast.com. And don't forget, you can help support the podcast with a monthly contribution through Patreon or buy some awesome Fisheries Podcast logo shirts, hoodies, and stickers available on Teespring. My name is Mirella Lace. Thank you for listening to episode number 150 of the Fisheries Podcast. And remember, fishing better is not fishing more. Thank you.